Welcome to
Got Your Mail!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba. With me, as always, is
Mork.
And Mork joining us today. We're at his place. We're outside. You can hear the crickets in the air. Who else is with us?
You wouldn't believe it.
It's Catfish.
Hey, Catfish.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so guys, we just watched episode 7 of season 2, The Bourne.
Bourne.
You know what? Before we get to this, we're always all business on this podcast. So, you know, Mork.
Funny business.
Right. Mork, it's been a long, long week. I haven't seen you in 7 days.
I haven't seen you, Bubba.
So, Mork, what's new with you? Why don't you tell me?
Oh, man. Well, I had an adventure the other day at the mall. And I tried to find the sunglasses hut, and they moved it.
None of that's important.
But
the only thing that's important is the master.
Well, I thought
that's all that's important. Stop with this boring story.
But I thought I had a crush on the girl.
Only the master's important.
Hut.
Only the master.
And then I saw her work.
Stop immediately.
Spending some time with the girl from Orange Julius.
Oh my God!
Who I hadn't seen in about a month or maybe 6 weeks.
I can't roll my eyes long enough.
The last time I saw them together.
That's all that matters is killing the master.
The girl from Orange Julius was just running away. She quit her job.
All right, guys.
She renewed her passport.
We need to immediately jump in and give our ratings out of 10 for this episode 7 of season 2, The Bourne. So why don't we start on the far side with you, Catfish. Catfish, I know there were moments in this episode you really liked. What would be your rating out of 10?
I'm going to give it 8. Passionate,
whoa,
destructive relationships out of 10.
Oh, 8. That's very, nice. Very, very high. So
I was putting myself in Fett's position,
oh, no,
and I added up the numbers, and I came up with 2 women, 1 man equals one of my favorite things.
Okay.
Wait, but 2, wait, what, how's that add up to 8? 7? 8.
It's 2 to the 3rd.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, Mork, how about you? Mork,
the power of 3.
Almost. I would almost give it, 7 judgmental bartenders.
7 out of 10. So that's pretty high. What did you like about it, Mork?
Oh, man. I liked
the only thing that's important is the master.
What I liked, I liked the costumes. And I liked the fact that they were in a couple different cities. And so when I was at the mall,
truth and honesty right there. Okay, guys.
But what about what about you, Bubba?
Well, I am always the toughest critic.
You are so tough.
And so let's just get right to it. When the guy we've been calling Strabone, when he went to town on the children of the Loim, I thought that was awesome.
I don't think you can use that phrase and then say children. I don't think there could be any going to town on children.
We are now sponsored by Subway.
When he was Straboning those kids.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
That was incredible. But the rest of the episode had so many Sertrakian eye rolls that I'm only going to be...
So it'd be a 9, right? A 9.
No. I'm always the toughest critic.
A 10?
11?
So because I'm going to only give this 5 what I like to call triple C's out of 10.
Triple C's?
Yeah, the triple C is a phrase I like to use when I talk about Coco Cunnilingusing cobwebs.
Wait. There's no cobwebs.
Whoa,
the only cobwebs associated with Coco have nothing to do with Coco. It's whoever
goodness
she's spending time with.
Right. So yeah,
Palmer's got the cobwebs.
We're gonna need to have a talk.
Yeah.
We need to have the talk.
Well, then,
with Bubba, the talk.
All right, Bubba, come here.
Well, the talk right now is going to be of our feedback, and we've got a lot of great feedback. And before we get to some of the great tweets we've gotten, we got 3 new members of Strigoi Team 7.
3?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Listeners, if you want to be a member of Strigoi Team 7, all you have to do is go to iTunes and give us a written review.
And give $20 to a man named Hank.
Stop. So a written review on iTunes. We know in the past that we had Strigoi Team 6 got killed on the show by the UV lights in the Palmer Suite. But now we got 3 new reviews. And so, Mork, why don't you read this first one, which is from the NAS52. So the NAS52, Mork.
The NAS52, the best.
Wow.
These guys.
Thank you.
5 stars. What?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are the best. Not just the Strain podcast show, but every podcast they put up.
Ooh.
I used to listen to tons of podcasts reviewing all kinds of shows, but now I only follow what these guys put out.
Oh, wow.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming Naz is talking to other people, not the three of us. And subscribe this second. Your ears will thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Naz52. That is sweet. Catfish, why don't you read this second review?
All right. It is also a five-star review.
Ooh, thank you.
And the title is One of My Faves.
One.
And what? It's by Zia's Mommy, Z-I-A-H-S-M-O-M-M-I-E.
No Ooh, relation to Nora's mom.
No.
Better. She says, love the cast, exclamation point. They love calling out all the BS the show tries to push on the audience, and yet we continue to watch. I can't wait each Monday for this podcast.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
I know. That
no
is
pressure.
Something.
No
that
pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. And our final new review is also a five-star review. It's from S.F. Pete G. That's S.F. Pete G. And the title of the podcast
wait,
is...
Wait, one more time. It's from...
S.F. Pete G.
Okay.
I think the SS stands for Sir Goy Fan.
I think it stands for Sexual Fituation.
No, brother. Here we go. And SFPG gives us a five-star review entitled Best of the Strain Podcast. Ooh, thank you so much. It Ooh, says, la, la. I've dabbled and explored about five different strain podcasts.
Quite. This person is a connoisseur.
Heck yeah. And I'm very glad to have found Got Your Milk. Funny presentation, but they're not fanboys, but not overly critical like other pods. And no spoilers, they
didn't even, I think is what
that
is.
Yeah, they didn't even read the books. Great job. Keep it up. Thank you so much.
Aww, you know what's nice?
PG.
What's nice,
what's
Catfish?
Most comfortable I got from that review was knowing that there are other people that are harder on this show than we are.
Right.
That gives me faith in America.
So I want to say if you are a new listener and want to join Sturgoy Team 7, it's real easy to do. You just go to iTunes and leave us a written review. If you're not in the U.S., and I see the downloads, and I know we have international downloads from everywhere that Strabone has visited.
But never have we gotten one from Israel.
No, not yet. But you may be wondering, why is the podcast entitled Got Your Milk? This is a podcast about the strain, but we say Got Your Milk. Mork, why don't you take our listeners back in time and explain the name of this podcast?
Oh, man. This well, we worked really, really hard on this. I'm really proud of what we came up with.
Right.
In episode one of season one.
Yeah.
And that was last season because this is season two. In the very opening episode. As they entered the airplane, before F got on the plane, he stopped.
And
his buddy Jim called after him, F, I know you're going to kill me soon, but here, don't forget your milk.
Right.
And he threw him a pint of milk because F's an alcoholic, but he's recovering, so he had milk instead.
He seems to have recovered quite well this season.
Well, you really don't need to have milk when there's alcohol right there. It's just easier to drink the booze right away.
Right now,
right? So it should really be called Got Your Milk. Listen, milk's not important.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, I don't think Effie even has milk in his cereal anymore. But
no. Really?
No, he has a little bit of chilled bourbon in it.
F is a recovering sober person is what probably it would be fine to say. Another way, guys, to enjoy Got Your Milk and to be a member of Sturgoy Team 7 is to send us some tweets. And, boy, some of our leaders this season on Sturgoy Team 7 have been our good friends at the podcast Geek Girl Soup. That's at Geek Girl Soup on Twitter. They sent us so many. I'm gonna read some of my favorites. And so they said they sent out a tweet that says, hey, Coco, I told you last week that getting involved with Grandpa Palmer is a terrible idea and it makes me cringe. Oh, they are not a fan of this December, January 1st romance. They also sent out, they said, Satrakian, you're fired. Ouch.
Ooh la la.
Hey, why do you think they're so tough on Satrakian?
He's not running for president?
All right. They said the most badass characters in the show are either bald or they're fat. Do you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would just say they're just fat.
Okay.
Whoa. I like the bald people.
All right. Well, you know, Strabone is bald. And then we also have our good friend Romy 134.
He really supported us while I was in the wilderness alone.
Why don't you read some of these great tweets from Romy 134, who's at the Kindly Boy on Twitter. Read them, Catfish.
Well, he says, Drunk F is awesome. Is Zach here? And he pulls out his gun. He's only doing what we are thinking.
Hey, now.
You know what I was thinking when we saw F look across the street? There was a bar across the street and there was traffic. I was hoping they would show us go through traffic and maybe he'd get hit.
Oh, tough. Tough, tough. Let's go back to our good friends at Geek Girl Soup. They said that a line Nikki should have said is, remember F said one of their favorite lines was, maybe I should lay down in yours and Fett's room. Oh, whoops. Awkward.
Awkward indeed.
Folks, once again, just hashtag out Got Your Milk Podcast.
Geek Girl Soup could also not unsee what I could not unsee.
What do you mean?
I just want to point this out that couple weeks ago I said, I am so disturbed by Palmer and Coco. Like, it just unnerves me, even though as an older dude I should be interested. It just is disgusting. Right. And when it happened tonight, Mork cringed, physically cringed.
Mork, do you want to defend your cringing?
Or how about just admit that I'm right about how grotesque it is?
Hey, well, now. It reminded me, what made me cringe wasn't the natural, true, very grounded biological romance between two healthy people.
Right,
but it was how judgmental Catfish was. He reminded me of the judgmental bartender in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see. You were cringing at my reaction. Not your honest reaction seeing that.
I felt bad for you, not the lovely actress who's, she couldn't be anywhere between 25 and 55, and she's still way, way, way too young to be doing what she was doing.
I don't know. She was not
raised right.
Have you seen Donald Trump's wife? She's like a Trump-esque Coco.
I hear that she's going to be deported. Isn't she an illegal alien?
Hey, now.
She could be wrong.
Okay, guys, please tweet at us, hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast. We want to hear from you. We want this to be a discussion, not just us ranting about creepy romances.
It's not creepy to you, let's be honest.
No.
You had a beaming smile on your face.
Oh, my man.
Mork is going into convulsions, having an epileptic fit.
Oh, man, Coco is so cute.
Coco is lovely, but
thank you.
She needs to raise her standards.
Hey, oh, come on now. Do you think she should wear a backless dress to work?
Hold on.
I have no
Coco
problem with
has probably dated a lot of guys her age, but they don't bother to give her a nice helicopter ride around the city, do they?
Bolivar.
She was ready to go a long time ago, and I'm just going to say this one more time. The only way I can wrap my head around this is if she is an agent for somebody here.
Oh, you think
she's trying to get info?
She's undercover Coco.
I think she's got to be undercover Coco. Answer to my prayers.
All right, okay, guys.
I never knew there was a hottie with a backless dress.
All right.
Out there.
So, guys, we...
Likes old guys.
Guys, we got to give our favorite scenes, our UV light scenes of the episodes, and we have to give our spilt milk, our spoiled milk scene of the episode.
No such thing.
Anybody want to say... I usually don't go first. But
go first.
I'm going to say that my UV light scene of the episode was when Strabone started killing those kids. And I feel like now we have to start use his official name, Quinlan. You know, if you are from if you're from Roman times, you were named Quinlan a lot.
Yeah, why not?
And so it's
Italian.
Yeah,
but that's why he wants his cool nickname, Strabone.
Right.
That's what we're going to give him when we put it on his baseball jersey when we join the league.
Strabone taking out.
Strabone's the cleanup hitter.
Taking out the Loim crew, the Loim kids. When he is stepping on a Loimkin's intestines and worms, like a worm shoots out and he just grabs it and rips it out of the...
Listen,
that was so awesome.
Did you
that
see
was
that
awesome.
Swing? He cut a kid in half with one swing. You're telling me he doesn't got home run power? He's on the team. Strabone, clean
I'm
up
I'm telling
hitter.
You, anytime I see dead kids, great scene.
Strabone.
All right, so does anybody want to agree with me or have a different UV light scene of the episode? Anybody?
My UV light scene was Fett feeling a little awkward around Dutch and Nikki, and he wasn't quite sure where he was. He'd earned his place on the team, but well, maybe he's not on the team anymore.
Have you ever been jealous of your girl getting together with her ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay, good. Deep story. Catfish, do you have a favorite UV light scene there?
You know what? I like both your answers. So I'm going to go kind of off the board and say the scene I liked was the one scene in a season and a half we've seen where F actually seems to treat Zach like a son.
Right.
And in return, Zach acts like a human being for the episode instead of a jerk.
So
that's like positive reinforcement. Hey, Dad, if you talk to me normally, I won't be such a screaming, whining.
Yeah,
He did kind of shoot him down, though, telling him not even to bother promising, because we all know what F promises are.
It's a little bit of sarcasm and funny.
I love that.
Yeah. I didn't find
that. Dad, in case you haven't noticed, Dad, you're an alcoholic, so let's ixnay on the promises nay.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Okay, so
I'm going to have another sip of beer.
All right, so, guys, do we have, we've gone around the horn. Anybody want to jump in with a spilt milk, a spoiled milk, a scene that kind of didn't liven up the episode? And I was tough on this episode. I only give it a 5, so there was a lot of pointlessness.
I mean, there's one spilt milk in an old man's pants scene.
Okay.
But hey. Other than that, I would say F in the bar in D.C. was sort of a pointless thing.
Well, I think you have to go back and say, by seeing it later in the episode, that was a bar in Brooklyn. Like, somehow,
like,
overnight,
he went to the bar before he went home. He's I'm home, but right. I better get a drink before
overnight,
I go
overnight, he somehow got into the quarantine zone of Brooklyn? I mean, what? It makes no effing sense.
No effing sense.
And so, all right, so that was a scene you didn't like? I just want to confirm.
Thank you for confirming, and I will reiterate, I didn't like it for a couple reasons.
Okay.
F, he can be a bit of a crybaby.
Right.
And, you know, I just felt there was a lot of stuff to do. There's no mention. He has just stolen the Stoneheart cell phone from the potential assassin.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
He doesn't do anything, and we've got a smoking gun here. And what does he do? He gets some chilled bourbon, which I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Honestly, doesn't seem like that phone is now going to be any more important. The only thing that was important about that phone was not having Dutch crack it, who's a cracker. No, just to so that it said Stoneheart.
She's a cracker hacker.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, Catfish, get in with your spilt milk scene of the episode.
Well, I see what they're trying to do with Fett as far as the way he reacted, but I felt like they went over the top. And because they hit it so hard, I think they meant it to be kind of funny, and they also failed at that.
Oh.
Because it was really I don't blame the actor. I just think it was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was way over the top.
Okay.
I mean, you can buy it, I guess, from the character, but still, it needs to be funny.
I think you're being a little judgmental.
Yeah, well, that's my job.
Yeah, I think you're being slightly judgmental.
That's my job.
Don't judge a man until you've walked in his shoes and slept with an Australian computer hacker, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't care about that.
Well, I care. You know who else cares?
No.
Not only Nikki, but Nora's mom.
Come on, you little monkeys. Stop fighting. It's me, Fett.
Oh,
that's
Oh my goodness.
If we fight for you in the shower, though, Fett, is that okay?
All right, so my spoiler...
And he also missed an opportunity.
Opportunity?
I mean, you just go, hey, great. There's plenty of room in my,
we have
in
to
my
share,
bed.
We have to share beds.
Yeah, in our room.
All right, it's a vampire zombie struggling apocalypse. We got to share beds.
Guys, I got to get to my spoiled milk. And there were a lot of options. Number one, I think the...
what were they?
Fett and Dutch's romance in the bed, where she wishes she had been there. And we had that great long eulogy to Fitzwilliam. That was really...
Nothing's more romantic.
Oh, he could have done so much... But he did.
I'll tell you, you know, if anybody out there
But it wasn't that scene. It wasn't that scene. Now, you would think any scene where Coco gets sent out of the room, and I want to see more Coco, and they're like, Coco, get some tea. Her name's fucking Coco. Have her get Coco, Palmer.
That'd be fair.
But no, even that wasn't.
Well, I did like that. Like, he's got his huge office, and it's got to be people talking in the company. It's like, he's never had anybody inside his office before. Her office... Her desk is in his office.
He's got nothing to hide, except for when he's got something to hide.
No, my spilt milk scene was Quinlan in 1873 going to the Sardu Village.
Oh,
and pretty much
yeah.
talking to the master through the master's turned children.
Hmm.
And it was, this new guy, Quinlan Strabone, he says
right.
he spent his whole life trying to kill the master. Now, we saw this mother, Strabone, he's been alive since fucking Roman times.
Yeah.
And he spent his whole life trying to kill the master. This is an epic fail.
Tracker.
Oh, my
not,
God.
And you know what?
Oh, my Lord.
If I had been one of the elders there that he upbraided last week,
yeah.
I would have reminded him yeah. about his 700 years of failure.
Right.
700?
700? I mean,
yeah, at least. Well, yeah.
This is like 2,000 years of failure.
Years. Well, in his defense,
oh,
we didn't
Lord.
Even, in Roman times, it yeah. just seemed like he was out there. He didn't seem to be chasing anybody.
No.
He just seemed to be studying human nature by
yeah.
Right. killing people and not eating any food or
right.
drinking any wine with the Romans. But maybe the master was also on a hiatus.
All right. So, Mork, before tonight's podcast, you had a big thought. You were like, you know what? Our listeners don't want us to break down every scene. You were like, you think they just what do you want? What do you think our listeners want, Mork?
Well, I think they want love. I think they want happiness.
Okay, Mark, please, what's the truth? What you were saying before the episode.
I think what I love. I think everyone who's listening to this has probably already seen the episode.
Sure.
So let's just talk about the things that jumped out at us, and you know, some of the stuff that didn't really push us, you know, one way or the other. Well, we can just move past and focus on the stuff that made us happy or extremely angry.
Well, all right. Is there a set? Let me ask you this, because I think we kind of have to review every little storyline. We don't have to hit every beat, but was there a certain scene or storyline that you felt nothing happened on, and so we don't have to touch on?
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a lot about the scenes you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I see what you're doing here, Bubba.
No,
I see what you're doing. I'm not falling
for serious. You're like, we don't need to cover everything, so just name it, and we won't cover it.
All right.
What scene don't we need to cover?
How about we give him one pass? Every time he's got one pass throughout the episode.
Okay, that's
we
a
get
good
to a
point.
Scene,
we
he
get
can
to
go,
a scene.
Okay, not the scene. I don't
all
care
right.
about the scene. And
all
then
right.
we won't talk about that scene.
Oh,
at
man.
All, Mark, I promise.
This is like Sophie's Choice.
All right, so we're going to begin the episode where you have your pass. Just say when,
okay.
Mark. So we begin the episode in ancient Roman times. Is this in the gladiator arena? Is this your skip? Or do you want to talk about this more?
No, this is important.
Okay, so we see Strabone, and he is a great gladiator fighter, and we see...
They do say most people only last seconds. Is it because he likes to toy with them, or this guy didn't seem like very tough? Like,
well,
this should have been one of the seconds ones instead of taking so long.
Okay, well, one of the things that you talked about, Mork, was that he covers himself with dirt and he's out. We thought he was out in the sun and maybe the dirt was to protect him. What did you think was happening here with Quinlan Strabone?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. He didn't seem to do a great job of it. And there does seem to be a little bit of, you know, skin evaporating off of him.
Yeah, he does look at himself at the end when he's inside after he talks to the senator. He looks at the side like maybe he got a little something-something.
He got a little something-something,
and
yeah.
So they keep talking about his relationship with this senator. What was the point of it? Just that he had human support? And maybe this senator is the equivalent of, like, Mr. Palmer in our times?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you calling Strabone an ancient equivalent of Coco?
Maybe.
Are you trying to say that the senator and Strabone are going to take a chariot ride across the city?
That would be wonderful. So I think I don't understand what this senator is seeing.
I love how
with Strabone Quinlan is.
In this, though, we see he is a full Minotaur. Like, there's not even a mix. It's like you took the master's head,
yeah,
tore it off, and then shoved it on a regular human body.
Okay. He's got pointy ears, like he's going to be boxed.
He's got the nice neck swirls.
Oh, yeah.
The nexticles
are pretty good.
They're very nice.
And so, but once again, why is this senator putting up with him? I don't understand any of it.
He is very devious and likes disgusting things. He said he loves the black arts.
Yeah, have
what's
you not
more
seen
black
Caligula?
Arts than this?
Yeah, but he also talks about, listen,
look, everybody's
you're a
got
demon.
A hobby.
He's like, you're a demon. You're a hybrid, half human and half demon. So
right.
Where do you think the master, how old, how about this? How old are we supposed to think the master is? Has the master been here as long as the earth has been here? What do we think about this?
That is a deep, deep question. All I'm going to say is we've never seen the master and Alexander the Great in the same room.
Right. Well, okay. But, I mean, that wasn't an answer to the question.
Or the Master and Jesus.
Right. I want to know.
Thank you.
I want to know from you guys, and you can guess and say you're just guessing, whatever. How long has the Master been around? Has he been around forever? Or, he certainly dates to this time, to the Roman Empire. Is he go back to Mesopotamia? Let's hear it.
I would say yes, absolutely. And what I did like about this episode is we're jumping back a couple thousand years and we're expanding the mythology and, you know, and that's great. And one of the reasons it's so great is because now, because we know it's gone so far back, that there's probably multiple storylines that even if New York just completely got blown up and burned to the ground, we could explore the same storylines and maybe
over
Buenos Aires
and over and over.
Or Berlin or maybe somewhere in Antarctica.
Go, Catfish.
How about Atlantis?
Or Atlantis.
Let me ask you guys something. Is there, quote-unquote, is it just impossible for the stakes to be high? Because we know that the Strigoi have to, you know, the Master has to succeed or there's no show. So is that why it's tough for them to build tension? Because we know, hey, the Master and the Strigoi can't be defeated, because if they're defeated, the show's over. We're only, you know, halfway through the second season. Why
but
are
in
they
the
having
same,
trouble with
in the
this?
Same vein,
yeah.
Somehow, unlike The Walking Dead, they have, you know, who had a lot of people. They've picked up new people. It seems to me like we're going to stick with this core. So we also know that, at least until the end, we're not really going to lose people from this core. I mean, we lost, you know, R.I.P. Nora's mom.
Yes,
but
thank you.
We lost Jim. And what about that central character Fitzwilliam?
Oh, Fitzwilliam was big. Fitzwilliam was big.
I mean, he could have done so much.
Yes. Yeah. He could have done a lot. You know what? He could have done too much. He would have propelled the plot too fast.
All right. So we come back and we have this scene remembering my boy Fitzwilliams, and it's Dutch and Fett in bed, and this shows that their relationship has really grown.
It's
gone from casual sex in a bread truck to a room that they call their own.
First off, I don't know if it's, I mean, look.
Wait, I'm confused.
Call me old-fashioned, but I don't think it's possible to have casual sex in a bread truck. All right? If you have sex in a bread truck, it's a goddamn commitment.
Committed sex. Amen. Yeah. And so, this isn't your skip either. Mork, I keep giving you chances to skip.
Oh, sorry.
And so what really happens in this scene is somehow they get around to the point to where Dutch has been wearing the same clothes several days in a row, and rather than wash them, she thinks, maybe I should go back to my place and get some more clothes.
And he says, why don't you just move in here? And he also says, don't you like the fact that I wax my underarms?
Did he? I didn't notice that.
His underarms are completely hairless.
Listen, when you're out there hunting rats and other varmints,
it slows you down.
Yeah, they catch the scent of your hair, and then they know they're coming. You're coming for them.
And yet, he clearly has underarm hair on his chin.
That's poor Fett. Oh my goodness, poor Fett. Okay, and so what do you guys think? Is this a great romance that is dying? What do you think is going on here?
As much as I enjoy this because it's crazy,
yeah.
I have to say, I still kind of don't buy these two together. I'm not feeling their.
Oh really? After
like
the bread truck, after the pool.
Yeah, no, all that's good. I just don't feel like they personally have chemistry.
Okay, so then we go to Dutch's apartment, and wait a minute, the door has been locked from the inside. So you know it's not Strigoi. Fett says, Strigoi don't lock doors. But he's afraid it's squatters. And it is a squatter because she's
squatting
under the stairs.
Nothing is more dangerous in this city at this point in time than squatters.
So there's somebody squatting under the stairs.
Yeah.
It's Nikki.
Oh, darling Nikki.
Were you guys happy to see Nikki alive?
I was stunned as shit.
No.
Now, we haven't read the books, and one thing I've heard is that Dutch isn't a character from the books, so that makes me think Nikki isn't a character from the books. So that makes me think, like,
that would be great if there was a character from the books named Nikki who walked around talking about her girlfriend, but there wasn't really a person. So it was really like, okay, I know we have this virus going on, but my real concern is you're psychotic. You're imagining a friend who's not there.
And Fett would also want to go
and
back
so
to his
apartment
you, to get
I told
close.
You about the AV Club's article where the creators said they were trying to slow down the show. Is it possible that not only that seemingly nothing happened trip to DC was a way to slow down the plot, but that Nikki is just another way to have a complication so people have something to do other than fight the Strigoi and the disease which is destroying the city.
Well, it worked. I don't know if that was the plan, but it worked, yeah.
I actually think more of the plot was advanced with F going to New York. Going to D.C. because at least now he's focused on Palmer than whatever the heck is going on here between these three.
I hope so. So we cut from that to the Stoneheart group, which is up on Upper West.
Awkward. How could you work in an open office with just your boss? Like, how you can't check the internet? You got to be working all the time.
And the boss is just staring at her while she works.
Awkward.
And what if she wasn't even working? What if she was on a break and writing another script like she wrote at Boston College?
What about him? He's got a notebook open and he's writing freehand on a notebook. No computer, no phone, nothing.
Now, we saw when the bread truck pulled up to Dutch's place that there was still slush and snow and ice on the ground. And so, of course, Mr. Palmer says, hey, it's a beautiful day. Let's go for a ride.
Well, everything is beautiful from the penthouse suite of the Stoneheart group.
And the air.
Oh, Coco is wearing the backless dress here at work. Nice move, Coco.
It's casual Friday.
But Coco heard this lackey come up and mention Efren.
Yes, and do you know why?
What?
Because Coco is a plant from somebody. She's somebody's plant.
God, I hope
Who? Who?
Bubba.
Catfish, I'm calling you out.
Bubba wants Coco to get involved with Palmer because after she's going to come back, she's going to be like, oh, my God, you're so young.
Hey, now. I just don't want Coco to be a plant in the loin. You know what I mean?
No.
Oh, yes. I know. That would be horrible. Coco. First Kelly, then Coco.
Don't
get attached to anybody else on this show.
Okay, Bubba? Guys, maybe we should have understood that F was back in New York City.
Where was the subtitles that they liked to give us?
Yeah, they didn't give us the subtitles because he passes a truck that says the bread truck. I think.
Okay.
No, it can't be the bread truck because the bread truck is at Dutch's house.
It had a little New York license plate. But so basically, he stumbled back.
Yeah,
from
with a bullet in him, he got all the way back to the quarantine zone of the five boroughs.
In his defense, Jonathan Cromwell he's got special access to Uber. So
let me say this also. Yeah. Okay. You know, he's got that magical power now.
Just
like Mork, he's got the power of there's nothing interfering with the brainwaves going right out of his head.
I thought he was still in D.C. because there isn't snow on the ground anywhere near the bar. So he goes to the bar and he takes off his jacket and he has to fix this bullet wound. He's not going to pull the bullet out. And so, Catfish, you're a doctor.
It's a through and through. That's what Mark told me last week, a through and through.
Well, we know it's definitely a through, and we don't know where
it's serious, though, because he pours alcohol on it rather than drinking it.
No, he drinks it afterwards.
He pours it.
Yes, but he wasted some of it on that wound.
He prefers anybody who prefers chilled bourbon.
Now, guys, when you are shot in the arm, which arm has been shot here, his right or his left?
His right.
Right arm.
Okay. All right. And so, help me out. When you have been shot in the shoulder like that, the bullet would go pure through the shoulder and wouldn't hit a bone or anything.
It would hit a bone.
No, it wouldn't be stopped by a bone.
It would pulverize that shoulder bone.
Maybe it's an artificial shoulder, guys.
What is he, Jim Lampley?
Could be.
All right.
Poor Jim Lampley. Don't get up, Jim. Don't get up.
Do you think it would cheer up Jim Lampley to have some chilled bourbon?
I think it might.
F didn't wait for the bourbon to be chilled. The bartender said, well, I've got some ice, and he didn't wait for it. He's like, give me. He just drank it straight.
These are rough times.
And so he made it.
And they did miss a chance for that joke. Let's have that joke.
Right.
Would you like any ice after he downs the second one? Ice? Give us a little funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a bartender.
All right. So back at Dutch's place,
Fett
is beginning to get jealous.
Skip.
You want to skip this scene? This is your one skip, Mark.
Skip.
All right. So she does not, as I'm fast-forwarding, she does not talk about the money that Nikki theoretically took. We didn't take about anything.
But I should say this. Fett, and he does it later on,
keeps
dropping in subtle things like, she hurt herself running away.
Right, fighting them.
Yeah. Oh, she's hurt because she's been hiding this whole time. I mean, he really lays it on.
And so they've got another person.
Almost as thick as the makeup has been laid on her face.
Oh, now. Would you say Nikki is going to last longer than Fitzwilliam? Williams. Every time they bring a new person in, they are just bait for Stigall.
Now, when you say Fitzwilliams, since you know it's Fitzwilliam, are you talking about him and the brother?
Right.
Because I know you're sold that the brother's going to be involved now somehow.
I am sold.
The Fitzwilliams clan.
And so Fett is really... He is really heartbroken.
Oh, yeah. How about now? Oh, how about later? God. How about now?
I mean, who hasn't been there, though? I've been there. You know, whenever I've been jilted a little bit by a woman or two women, what I do is I throw on my New York City police badge.
Right.
And
yeah.
I just
you go kick ass?
And I just sulk.
I just go right just after sulk. That woman. I say, listen, you get back here, because number one, I want my Orange Julius.
Hey.
Number two.
Fair enough. Look.
Yes,
number two. Don't get me started on sunglasses out in Orange Julius. Yeah. This is where we gotta go. Fine, I will go there, and I'm gonna go back
now,
to the mall.
I'm
gonna load up on parking validations. And I'm gonna.
That's not important
right
anymore.
In front
all
of
right,
the
guys.
Out.
Dutch is standing up for Nikki, even though she ran away, even though she stole all her money.
Yeah,
why is she sticking
is supposed
up for her?
We're supposed to believe
love.
That Dutch
blinded
is the
love?
User in this relationship
blinded
when it seems
love.
Like. She's not manipulating here.
Right.
It's sort of like
lying she's doing.
But because Dutch is so worried about Nikki, and Nikki can't be alone right now, even though she's been alone, she doesn't go with Satrakian and Fett on the mission. He's asking her
to
go.
That's too bad, because she's a great fighter, according to Fett.
Oh, yeah. But Fett, he was wearing his badge. Are you guys glad that he was wearing his badge today?
You know what he means business.
I'm always glad when he's got it on. When he doesn't have it on, I'm afraid he's going to blow up the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, so then we leave that. And guys, this makes no sense. Help me out. What was their plan? They're going to the building that Fitzwilliams told them about.
And mainly, number one, they're running low on office supplies.
It's just
they
the
might
two
be
of
toner,
them. I mean, just the
whiteout, three-hole punch paper, lots of good stuff to grab.
So they get there.
You forget their original plan. They weren't looking to kill anybody. That's where they went to go to pour one out for Fitzwilliam.
So they come up, and of course, there's snow on the ground here, and they're in the Bronx. Hey, the Bronx is tough. And this is slightly crazy because people are working in there. We've seen people working in there, but somehow they're able to cut this fence and go in. He's got a badge. They could just walk in and say, show their badge and say, hey, we've got to inspect this. But instead, they have to cut the fence. And,
but that gives us a chance to know that Satrakian has a very strong feeling about this.
Oh,
so
my
he gets
God. His eye
feelings.
Roll. His eye roll. This...
Well, I don't think he meant to roll his eyes. I think it was the worms irritating his eyes.
Okay, so they have found the place where the blind kids have been loimed.
How do we know it's blind kids, though? I mean, just because there's a pile of 45 walking sticks?
Well, what's great is I love it, is that, Bubba, you said, I wonder if that's the bus from the blind kids school. And he picks it up and he goes, what, information? This is from a school of blind kids. Like, they really are just like, if you have any doubt, we're going to clear it right up for you.
Now, there's a security guy who spies Satrakian and Fett there, and he is about to call them in to other security people when Strabone Quinlan takes him out.
I just want to point out to our listeners that the security guard was played by Chloe O'Malley's uncle, Jerry. And
you know, Mark,
Jerry O'Malley.
Do you think I could get one truthful thing out of you?
Nothing is more truthful
thing.
Than Jerry O'Malley playing a security guard.
Truthful thing here. And probably something that was very true is that if you were Nikki, you would ask, so what's the sleeping arrangements? One of the first things you would ask when you were brought someplace. Awkward.
And so Dutch, we see here, loves Strong and Long, but not so truthfully. She cannot get her self to say the truth. But what's great is I assumed that he was going to blow it, F, when he comes in.
Yeah, F blows everything.
I assumed he was going to blow it because he's a dork and he's drunk and he doesn't even know. But he doesn't do it until the very end. So by the time he did it, it was kind of a surprise to
me. Are you guys proud of Drunk F for recognizing that he knew Nikki? He's like, how do I know you somewhere? The convenience store. Right?
I think every drunk man...
Yes.
That's exactly what every drunk man says to a semi-attractive woman. I've sort of met you before.
Okay, some truth from Mork, finally.
And he says, I'm going to go see my son. Should I bring the gun or not?
And so F decides not to nap with Nora. Ooh, he knows that the relationship could be in trouble. She might smell...
Yeah, what relationship?
She might smell Lee's stench on him.
Lee's blood, you mean.
So F, of course, says... Murdered. F says he's going to go sleep in Dutch in... Effet's room, and that reveals it all. But back to, let's get to my favorite scene with the loin.
Can we see it? Are we allowed to see it?
This is
Mork?
It here.
Yeah, I used his objection. One
done.
So Fett and Satrakian walk in, they see the rejects that Kelly.
And what's amazing is, in case we forgot it, it's great that Satrakian knows without any information. He's like, no, these are the rejects. Right. I just know. Look at them. They couldn't cut it, these
kids. Now,
obviously, they're rejects.
Now, even though I love what's going to happen when Quinlan Strabone comes in, this show is so, give me a break. So these feelers, these former blind kids who've been loimed, they can jump fast, they can climb, they work together, they have tongues that can shoot out, but of course when they attack our heroes, they don't do any of that stuff. They're not trying to climb and jump, they're not trying to do anything, but when they attack Fett and Satrakian, they just crawl slowly. And
maybe
they're trying to lull them into a false sense of security.
Exactly. Look, this is called building tension.
Yeah. It's called BS. Both building BS.
All right.
So it looks like our heroes are in deep trouble because the feelers are coming slowly and not really trying to attack them at all. When who comes in? Who is it? It's Quinlan and the feelers. I love this
Strabone!
Part. The feelers scamper backwards. I love that. That is, it's good effects. But Strabone, he is not taking any of your crap. And he, of course, the ancient ones were kind enough to mention Satrakium to him. What the? Where's Gus during all this?
Tandoori Palace. Where else would you be?
Gus is hanging out with the Silver Angel. They're stuck in the elevator, basically.
Okay. So, how come Fett? If I'm Fett, I'm immediately shooting this monster coming down, aren't you?
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Come on. What the heck?
No doubt about it.
But instead, finally, the feelers say, okay, let's go fast and attack. But Strabone, he knows how to kill. He kills Strigoi real good. It's kind of like he knows...
Now, should we give him only like half credit for each kid? Should we give him less credit or more credit because they're quick.
Well, how about this? It wasn't a full Strigoi.
I love the effect of the half
crawl back into the loin.
So awesome.
Oh, so good. This is what we want out of this show. We always want it to be fun and silly and action and thrilling, and this was good. Admittedly, it left two of our heroes with nothing to do but watch. They're like, hey, should we help out? Nah.
Yeah, but we want to see Strabone be the badass.
Well, we saw him in the arena be a badass. We saw him here be a badass. And so he is really hardcore.
Pretty hardcore.
What do you think? Why didn't Satrakian suddenly be like, what is this creepy guy? Maybe he's, why didn't he start firing as soon as this guy came in? It's just...
Satrakian, he's got all sorts of little things up his sleeve.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Why do you want him to fire on somebody who's an ally?
Well, they didn't know he was an ally when he
Satrakian knows. These kids are rejects. This guy's an ally. Don't fire.
So is that the
everything's
going
to be all right.
And I'm trying to decide, should I get a small or a medium?
No. Okay.
For only 50 cents more, I could get a large Orange Julius.
Yeah, but she chased her away.
Well,
there is only one way you can follow up a scene with so much action, so much tense drama, as Strabone going to down on Loim blind kids.
You've got him going to town on kids again. I thought you were just going to have him go to town on the loin.
Listen to me.
Yes.
There's only one scene that can be thrilling enough to follow that, and it's a helicopter ride for two.
Yeah. Oh,
it is the seduction of Coco. I look at this.
Now, is Coco being seduced or is Palmer being seduced?
Oh, man. That is a great question.
Mm-hmm. He's as giddy as a schoolboy.
I'm telling you, I look at Mr. Palmer
for about a minute and a half.
I look at Eldridge Palmer, and I think that's 50 Shades of Gray hair.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like 78.
Now, when the helicopter rocked, Coco reached her hand out, and who did she look for to support her but Palmer?
Well,
this
first she
love.
Looked for Fitzwilliam.
No.
And then she worked for Jerry, the security guy.
And look,
Chloe
they
O'Malley.
Have an open they have an open relationship. She's like, I heard about Ephraim Goodweather before you sent me to go get tea. Mm. And look, Palmer can share. He's like, you know, he killed three people. He killed my good friend Everett Barnes. R.I.P. Everett Barnes.
Everett Barnes was a special man.
Let's pour one out of the train for Everett.
Now, is it possible?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible that Coco's Everett Barnes' stepdaughter?
Oh, that'd be great.
Maybe that's what's going on here.
And what did
Catfish?
You think of Palmer's thing?
No, I think she's the Silver Angel's daughter.
Palmer's talking about the complacency of the Romans. As the city burns, he's taking a romantic ride. It's like the buildings are candles meant for romance.
They're beautiful.
They are.
It's
oh,
beautiful.
God.
Nothing could be more romantic.
Nothing like the smell of burning buildings to get the pheromones going.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if, guys, everybody, I apologize if this is pitiful, listeners, but everybody knows that I used to have such a crush on the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly.
Why would that change?
Yeah, good question. Well, and now I have this
why
huge
would that
crush.
Change? She looks a little different.
He's
what's
so humanist.
Yeah.
And now I have this crush
and
on
shallow.
the what's the opposite of a cougar? On the
jailbait.
Yeah.
On the adult diaper loving Coco. How, if I were going to go on a date with Coco, I can't afford a helicopter ride. What would I do,
well,
guys? What do you think would impress
her? It's time for our first reenactment. Coco is getting ready for her helicopter ride with Mr. Palmer with her roommate, Nikki.
Okay.
I'll be under the stairs while you get ready for your date, Coco. I don't want to see you coming out of the shower.
Coco, it's me, Eldritch. Coco.
Oh, it's my beau. It's my beau, Eldritch Palmer. And when they say Eldritch, they mean that's like Elder. Elderlich Palmer.
You know what, Coco? I've never had any long-term relationships. I've never had any short-term relationships.
Is there some other term?
Well, one time Fitzwilliam and I in the back of the...
Oh.
During the power outage.
In the UV light hot tub.
That's so funny, because my new roommate has been suggesting all kinds of things.
Oh, listen to me, Coco. When I see you, I think I need a long drink of tea.
Oh, yeah.
Leave me immediately.
I think it needs to be organic. You can't. Your heart. It's your heart.
Coco, do you know what AARP stands for?
Always accessible and really puffy?
Really?
That's how I describe my breasts.
Now, listen to me. The P stands...
Coco.
The P stands for my manhood.
Oh.
Paul.
No, listen.
Why did you name your manhood Paul?
No, Paul Zeed.
Hey,
that's
no.
What she meant. Paul Zeed.
Oh, no.
Coco, you know, you kind of have a lovely fake tan, but if you look at this liver spot on my ass, it's also brown like your skin.
Oh, God. I'm so turned on right now.
Oh,
drink this. It's Metabucil.
Yummy. Yummy, Coco. And scene, okay?
It's pink, man. Like my budding puffing. Oh,
okay.
Never mind.
Oh,
sorry.
Right.
Sorry, scene was over.
Oh,
scene was over.
Okay.
That might have been the most realistic one we've had yet.
Well, you know what I love,
Mark,
that you called for a reenactment of a scene that didn't even happen.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I know. Everyone felt like
yes,
they were there.
And I also
Hello.
Love how well you guys listened to me. I was saying, what if I, Bubba, what can I do with Coco? And for some reason, you put me with Nikki and Eldritch Palmer. Thanks.
Well, what's wrong with that?
It's called listening and responding. It's a simple,
we were
simple
trying to,
tool.
Look, if you could seduce this version of Coco, you
yes.
could seduce the other version of Coco.
Okay, all look, right.
Look, you've got to walk a mile in Palmer's waddles before you can learn to move on your own,
okay.
Bubba.
Let's. You know what? I give up. So we find out from...
Well, that doesn't sound like you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Fett.
Yeah, I've given up. I can't win. So for most of my life, I've hated the master. And so they find out that Strabone tells them, hey, you've led me to the master's nesting place. And then we go to this scene that I think makes no darn sense. We go back to 1837, was it? And we see this scene
of Strabone, a.k.a. Quinlan, hunting Sturgoy's master. It was nothing. Is it supposed to show how Strabone failed? He's like, yeah, I showed up here too late in 1873 to find Sardu the Giant. I mean, what?
Always 10 minutes behind for 1,000 years.
I mean, he can fight him. He can fight Sturgoy if he finds him, but for 2,000 years and never even getting close to the master? Weak sauce.
Well, yeah, whoa, time out. Whoa. Slow your roll there, Bubba.
I'm not. This Strabone, roll is speeding up.
Strabone did not. He didn't have MapQuest. He didn't have Google Maps.
He's
got a horse, and he's got a sword with a bone on top of it.
Oh, my God.
Give him just a minute. That's all I'm going to say.
I want to ask a quick question.
Sure.
You know, because we in another show that we cover, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Great.
Never heard of it.
They have great outdoor locations.
Yeah. And now, the town of Sardu has about one block. It has two buildings and one block.
Sardu, do we think Sardu is even outside? Do you think it's in a studio or
no?
What do you think?
Oh, I think it, yeah. I would say the square. You mean the village square there? Oh, boy, that's a tough call. I thought it was outside the first time we saw
it.
It
looks like downtown Dallas to me, guys. I mean, I hate to be a spoiler.
It looks like a joke.
Downtown Dallas.
Come on. San Antonio at most. That's the Riverwalk.
It could be the Alamo in the
background. All right, so did you at least like that Quinlan talks trash to the master through the turned kids?
I do like that.
This was pointless.
No, I like that. I like the fact that... So, okay, here's a question.
Sure.
So, Sardu, we've got Sardu's cane, which is now Cetrae. Cane, but
right.
This
it
sword
went from Sardu to Quinlan to Cetrachian, and Cetrachian got it, remember, in a previous flashback at an Austrian pawn shop. Is that what it was?
Right, so he got it there, but when so Sardu put a silver blade on it?
Yeah, maybe
it was always a
Sardu
silver blade?
Always had a blade on
it? Why would you make a blade out of silver? I mean, if you weren't being hunted down by you know,
just pride, really.
Okay.
Just like, here.
That's fair.
Here, take some silver. Try to hurt me with it.
A lot of people can't see this, but Catfish's grill is pure silver.
Does anybody want to guess how Quinlan lost the cane and it ended up in that Austrian...
Gambling debt.
Dice.
Yeah, definitely gambling.
Dice.
Okay.
Dice.
Definitely gambling.
All right, and then kind of just this show, logic and it have a hard relationship.
Well, we're not at the end yet. So I think in the end, hindsight will be 2020.
It's all going to come together.
So, but
so what, back at this warehouse again.
Well, can I ask a semi-serious question?
Yes, let's please. Be
okay,
serious.
So Strabone,
he's
been following him all of his life, which is thousands of years,
and now he's found him. He's found where he nests. This
before,
is it.
Before that, though, before that, while Cetrachian's hanging out, in concentration camps, where was Strabone then?
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
No, it's a great question. We'll never get the answer.
South of France.
You would think, oh my God, is there somewhere where horrible things are happening?
Right.
That's probably where the master's going to want to be because he likes a party.
He does like a party.
Okay. How about this? Quinlan, how does Quinlan know that the master had to change his, host body? He knows it somehow.
How does he even know that he's here?
Right. Well,
you would think Cetrachian, who knows all, would know these things.
Yeah, that's a good call. But okay, you have been hunting the master for 2,000 friggin' years. And so then you trap him in this friggin' warehouse. And then, okay, some cement collapses. The building collapses between you and the master. But it's not like there are tunnels out of this building. Why not just go to the other side? Why not find a way? The master is somewhere in there.
You know what I like?
He's like, I can't find him anymore.
You know
where did he go?
Like
it was
right
my
now?
Chance. 2,000 years. And he... I think
after hearing what you just said, I think you're going to revise... You're going to realize that you're going to revise your final score up.
Lower.
Because your excitement... your excitement right now is just... It's contagious. I'm catching the excitement.
It makes no sense. You've been hunting somebody for 2,000 years.
Okay.
And then, then they're on the other side of stuff. But, the only way he could get out of there... It's still daytime, am I correct?
Maybe. Okay, I got a crazy theory here. Strabone and the master are sort of like a modern-day Tom and Jerry. They love
It feels like it.
Or the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
No, it definitely feels like that.
And, I got to be honest. If Strabone's been chasing the master for over 2,000 years...
Yeah.
get a life, you know? Do something else.
Well, I mean, he had a hobby for a while, killing humans.
Yeah,
maybe
come
he's
on.
Just bored with that. You think right. he needs to pick up the banjo?
He's got to do right. something. I don't know. Go to college?
Right. Okay, so before we get up to this terrible explosion idea, we have Nora and F's reuniting. And Nora is mentioning about the Kelly attack from the previous night and about right. how she had to defend his son and he's not a good father.
Right, and F says, I got good news and bad news for you.
Yeah.
The bad news is things didn't work out well as far as the virus goes in New York. The good news, I totally got laid.
He doesn't mention that to Nora.
Oh, right, sorry. That's what he's saying in his head. I got laid.
Instead, he's going off about all... You know, Eldridge Palmer had his friends murdered, had the girl I was sleeping with, I mean, the girl that was going to help me murdered. He's very angry. But Nora says Palmer hasn't beaten them. And she's like, we can still do it. We can still grow this thing. You know, we can make it even more
legal. And then he's like, I don't have any faith anymore.
And so call me crazy.
I mean, you can't even find chilled bourbon anywhere in this city.
So Fett is like, hey... Guys, construction workers who we have not seen the whole time we've been here, you got to leave. There's been a bomb threat. And they're like, oh, yeah, who? Me. Ha, ha, ha. Look, I have bomb. Run, run, run. This was such a poor plan. I like Satrakian seeing the box troll version of the master's body, which is now attracting flies. It's absolutely pointless. But still... Come on.
He says, I like how he says, what are you now? Like the master's going to go, should I be a human or should I be a pigeon this time?
He could be a lamp.
Right. He Maybe could he's be a lamp. That'd be great. Yeah. Eldridge, I'm shining so bright on you right now.
Guys, we do need to talk about this. What do you think of the Bolivar version of the master?
Not bad.
I like it. It's creepy. The Not sound bad. Is creepy. I also like the creepy gurgling sound of Quinlan, too, Strabone.
So, we see the Master, then we see poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst come out, and this feels like it's going to be a great confrontation. But guess what the show can't give us? A great confrontation.
Oh, boy.
Could you figure out when I said guess?
It's a tease is what it is. Where it's all ramping up.
All right,
it's all
well, how about
ramping
this?
Up towards the
How
end.
Would you like to be poor man's Christoph Waltz and referred to as a lap dog?
Right. How would you like to be Strabone and yeah. then you're looking at the master and poor man's Christoph Waltz and knowing that your backup is about 97 years old? That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Right. Well, why don't the master talks trash about Quinlan's mom? Is that cool when you're about to have a Strigoi battle? For, you know, your mama jokes.
I think it's actually traditional. I mean, yeah. I think it... Now, it might mean something.
There's three rounds.
Three rounds?
Yeah. There's a your mama.
Yeah.
Then there's a rap battle.
Rap battle.
And then there's a fight.
And then there's an
so
actual
So it's two
fist
out of
fight.
Three.
Yeah.
Man, I just wanted to see one of them get served.
They're going to get served right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, what did you think of this plan? I'm going to... What did you think of this dynamite plan from Fett?
In retrospect, I didn't like it because you had two plans cancel each other out stupidly.
Right. Yeah, it did it.
It seems optimistic.
It was like arbitrary where he's going to place him. Did he know that the master was underneath him?
He's just trying to collapse the whole building.
Yeah, epic fail, Fett. And so, come on, it's going to be a proper duel, except nothing's going to happen. It won't be a proper duel. Do you think anybody was hurt in this explosion? Nothing happened. It's over. So they've got a lot of these properties, though.
It was just a little warm-up and tease. You know, you just got a tranquilo over there, Bubba.
All right. At the end of this second season, how about this? Will Strabone and the Master have fought, yes or no?
Yes. Absolutely. Strabone will be killed by Coco. That is my prognostication.
And the master, did the master know what was going to happen? Why didn't he do anything?
Well, he's the master.
Your silence.
The master was upset as well. He said no. He wanted to get it on.
Well, then why didn't he stick around and fight? It's, you know, the building did not collapse.
Could be bad luck.
It seems like you could fly over that debris
or even
just crawl over it. Hey, you'd say like this, you still there? Yeah, I'm still here. You want to fight?
Oh, and yeah, Strabone, yeah, Strabone, fight. Strabone is attacking Satrakian. You cost me my chance. You cost me my chance. How? You know, you had your chance.
There's downed power lines. Oh, my God. There could be some pigeons. Pigeons, as we all know, carry disease and viruses. They could get attacked by the pigeons.
I want Satrakian to say, that was the worst blowing up of a building I've seen in my life.
It was terrible. It was pointless. It was just the way this show currently has to delay. We can't get anything. Outside of the shocking death of Fitzwilliam, I don't think we've seen anything happen this season.
But luckily his brother's still around.
His brother and Gus.
His brother, because he's dead, his brother is also singular, Fitzwilliam. They can't be plural. There's only one.
Oh, so should we now refer to Gus as Guh?
Hey, Guh. What's up, Guh?
Here's an important scene.
Finally, a good scene with Zach 2.0. I actually like this scene. I'll say it. You know, we attack this show. Yeah. I attack this show for its just utter terribleness. But this was a relatively good scene. And Zach,
this was my fresh scene. UV light scene, because they have a real relationship. I mean, there's no sense of making F horrible at everything. At least make him good with his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if the son understands,
yeah,
and you know, maybe Kelly changes to look less vampire-ish.
Right.
So you could still understand, even if he loved his father, how he would miss his mother. You don't need to make him a whining, mewling baby who's also in conflict with his father to make him want his mother.
If I had a shot at a stepmom like Nora, come on.
Well,
come on. I'm gonna mule away.
But you don't understand.
Yeah.
There's a difference between your mother and your soon-to-be girlfriend.
Nora.
Okay.
Nora is soon-to-be girlfriend?
Not in New York City.
Nora is on Zach's list. She's number one with a bullet.
Zach saw Nora and he said dibs. All right, so what do you think about this? F is like, hey, I wasn't there. I don't know if it was your mother or not, but the bonds of love can make you, you know, make these things, you know, hunt you down. And he says, Zach, I'm going to keep you safe. I promise. Hey, Dad, maybe you shouldn't promise anymore.
Boom.
I promise I won't promise. Wait, hold on. Again. Oh, no.
And then Zach's head explodes.
Right. Well, I just love no more promises.
In your dreams.
He goes, I promise not to promise. I've been drinking, son.
It was a heartwarming
scene.
It was very heartwarming and nice.
Right. And so there is a scene of...
Can I ask an indelicate question?
Now, this is a scene I don't understand.
Well,
okay,
but
before
you... Yeah, let's hear your question, Mork.
Is Nikki pregnant?
Oh, Mork, why do you say that?
Well, she's wearing a very large shirt, and...
Maybe she's pregnant in real life, but I don't think they mean her to be pregnant on the show, but...
It'd be interesting.
I don't understand this scene, because is Nikki about to be upset that she hasn't been told earlier, or what? Like, they should have told her right away.
Right, your mom is looking for you, Nikki. What? You've been carrying this flyer? You must really love me. Fett comes in. Hey, can't believe what I just saw. I want to tell everybody. Oh.
You better not show me any tomatoes. You better not show me any. Oh, you got fresh tomatoes. Damn you.
You're with her. I guess I'll just leave and go out at night.
And wine. And you know what? We saw another shot. I think the actual actress is indeed pregnant. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, really?
This is you see her standing in front of the sink.
God bless.
All right. Nikki.
God bless.
Who do you think the father is? Fitzwilliam?
Palmer,
he loves the young ones.
He's
Palmer.
Getting around.
I think it's the Silver Angel.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, I think it's the Silver Angel.
Nice.
Hey, bro, I have to eat here at the Tandoori Palace because my ex, she wants child support.
And Anya's like, oh, I know she does, and it's my baby.
Oh, no,
Dutch pay a delivery fee for those tomatoes?
Call me crazy, I think all our listeners, I think you guys like Fett, but do we like jealous, hey, whiny
No, I don't like him. It would have been okay, as I said, if they kind of made a joke out of it, but...
It wasn't a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke, and it was very heavy.
Okay, and so Fett ran away. And then before we get to the buddy-buddy scene at the bar, we get to some of the craziest soft jazz playing ever. And we get Palmer in his office. It's not just his and Sexy Coco's office, but it's also his
living room because he lives at the Stoneheart
Group. Former hospital room.
Oh, my God.
They're drinking chilled bourbon.
Oh, that's where you can get it.
They're having chilled bourbon. Thank you, Mork.
We all see where this is going.
That's where you can get it. Oh, my.
All right, guys. So.
I like this. He says, I'm learning something from you. And she says, what? And he says, well, you know what I'm learning about
is
I'm learning something about me. I'm not learning it. I'm learning me.
Is it possible Coco's pregnant? She's wearing black.
Not the way you think.
No.
She's pregnant with
love. I don't know what that means.
She's... Now, you've got to admit, although he thinks he's making a move, he is no way making the move. She is making all the moves on him. This is the second time she's making a move on him.
Hold on.
Well, maybe is this why...
Power is an aphrodisiac.
Is this why rich and powerful Eldritch Palmer is making a deal with the master?
Because, to get some?
Because he's lonely? And he just wants to be loved.
Now, what about Coco saying it's not too late to get love, and she is touching his lapel? You only touch a lapel if you want
to
do it.
Well, now, no, slow down. That lapel is gigantic. She might be trying to go to the bathroom, the lapel's in the way.
And again, honestly, just notice, she's trying to pump up for information. That's all.
So you think this is a spy move?
Who would she be working for? I would say deal. I'll tell you everything.
She says, hey, are you sleeping around here? Can I see? And she brings him up to his bedroom. And you know what? This is a hot bedroom.
She starts caressing the pillows. And that was, the biggest sexual situation in the whole show.
I think
the way she caressed those pillows.
I think those pillowcases are like 150... maybe 160 thread count.
No way.
They're sateen. They're like 1,500 Egyptian cotton.
You've never been to Bed Bath & Beyond. You're saying 300 thread count? What's wrong with you?
I'm saying 172 tops.
Oh, my Lord.
No, Palmer likes it a little rough, if you know.
Well, she told him to shut up, and, she's kissing with tongue.
Palmer, oh, God.
Palmer, get
this has to be on. Some sort of SAG violation.
Oh, she helps him put his arms around her. If I'm this actor...
I'm sorry. I am so glad I did not have to watch this scene with my parents. That's all I have to say.
Your grandparents... Okay, so we then have a scene.
Oh, it's bedtime story
time. It's a bedtime story. But is it the truth or is it some crazy fantasy?
Both.
Wait, what?
No, it's a myth.
Is it a myth or the truth?
It's a myth.
A legend. Is it legend or is it real?
It's a legend.
It's a mythold.
So, Strachan knew all this stuff. So he theoretically knew about Strabone, but then he's something like, who are you?
Doesn't really seem like he knew about Strabone, to be honest with you.
But he read about the guy who was working with the senator. I mean,
Well, after the fact, I mean, look, the guy's, 122 years old. He's had some rough stuff.
He needs some worm juice in his eyes.
He's buying silver wherever he could.
Yeah, now, the bar where Fett and F end up sells Coors Light, so that's good.
That's always a good
sign.
It's
nice to know you can still get some Coors inside the New York City limits.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Getting away from evil Strigoi sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Sometimes you've
got to go to where they serve chilled bourbon.
But they
don't have any ice.
Even though, now I paid very close attention to the credits as I often
finally.
Do.
Okay.
And
I think
this is the sexual situation. I mean,
What do you think about Fett, who says he specializes in passionate, destructive relationships?
No, he was quoting her. That's what Dutch said at the beginning to him.
That was wistful Fett.
Yeah, yeah. He listened. In other words, basically what she told him is, I'm crazy nuts.
It's not.
So he should have heard that.
I think Dutch said to him, it's not you, it's Nikki.
But in Fett's defense, what... Say that again. I can't understand.
No, what happened was it started off Australian. No, it started off Australian, and then it ended up as Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah. Get up. G'day. It's not you, Fett.
I don't know what you're saying. I need to have an honest conversation about a relationship.
It's not you, Fett. It's me.
I'm a grown man. Just tell me anything.
Hey, now.
Just say it.
Hey, now.
Just say the words. I promise I'll take them to heart, but I can't understand.
So the preview, and maybe people don't like spoilers, but the preview looks like the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly might get some makeup and at least look like Lovely Kelly again. That'd be great.
That'd be perfect because, as I say, we get Zach, and it makes sense. It makes sense for him to still be caring for her.
Yeah.
So that part is fine, and that's why I say they didn't need to have such tension between the two of them, or at least tension that didn't make much sense.
All right. Well, so, guys, we've gone. We're definitely at the halfway point of the season.
We've probably passed
it.
Oh yeah.
What do you need to see in these final? I believe there are only five more episodes. I hope five or six. So, what do you want to see across the last five episodes? And we're going to start with you, Catfish, because you're going to be gone the next couple of weeks.
What?
Oh yeah. You know what I hope.
You hope.
I hope is that they have a good, super good plan to go after Palmer. I would also like to see...
So how about this? You want them to go after Palmer. Yes or no? Will F succeed? He's failed on so many plans. Will he succeed on this plan to kill Palmer?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Now, however, I will say this. I'm looking forward... This is... I cannot believe that they have done all this with Coco and made it so clumsy as they have and that they're not going to make... her a spy for somebody. So that's my super question. Who is she spying for? And I presume it's some other group. And so I hope that's good.
I got a crazy idea.
Everett Barnes?
That would be great. I got a crazy idea. What if she wants to take over? What if it's not she's trying to spy for anybody else, but what if she sees, Palmer is this old guy. He's got all the power. What if I seduce him, take all the power? Then when F kills him, Coco becomes the new... human helper to the master.
If I was Coco, that would be the worst plan ever, but she could be doing it.
Okay, so
I would never want to do that.
Well, I don't think Coco think Coco's a book character, so I doubt she could do that, but
really you're just concerned for me, right? Because your concern more is how I react.
Absolutely.
To the Coco and Palmer thing. So your concern is for me.
Of course
not
it
for
is.
Yourself.
Mork, what do you want to see over the last five or six episodes?
I by the end of this season, I want to see either Palmer or Eichhorst dead.
Whoa.
Dead as a doornail.
Whoa.
I don't care who we have to lose from the good guys to make that happen.
Name a hero who would die.
Oh, any of them except Satrakian and Nora's mom.
I think... I think Nora's mom went the path of Sardu, as in... we're never going to see those.
I think
Lewis's
she went
again.
The path of Chloe O'Malley.
No,
let's say she might still be alive, but we're just not seeing her.
You know what? Number one, I think... And this is slightly based on something they showed, after the very first episode of this season, they showed a trailer with stuff, and there's some things that still haven't happened yet. So I would say, I think one of our heroes of the hero team, meaning of Satrakian, Fett, Nora, F, and Dutch, I think one of them will die by the end of the season. And I think, as far as the villains, maybe I could call me crazy because I love... the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly. But I think she could die. So those are going to be my calls. I'm going to say...
I think Satrakian could die.
You really do?
Once we see all of his backstory, what do we need him for?
Well, that's his cholesterol is through the roof.
Well, that's a good question, but he provides something. No matter that we've got the Silver Angel and we've got Gus... and we've now got Strabone. Strabone is the one where you could kill Satrakian because he knows the backstory. In other words, you couldn't kill Satrakian unless you had somebody who knew a lot of the backstory. But now you're right. Now that you have Quinlan, a.k.a. Strabone, you could kill Satrakian.
Strabone could tell you the backstory of 10 minutes after everywhere the master's
right,
been.
Right.
He can't tell you the master story. He can tell you a master adjacent story.
What do I want for the final 5 or 6 episodes? I want scenes like Strabone going to town. I want action. I want fun. This nobody cares about Nikki. Nobody cares about so much of this stupid, stupid, pointless plot. Give us the fun. Give us some good stuff. Catfish, we're going to miss you over these next couple of weeks because I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to unleash Strabone, Quinlan, and let him, you know, kick some serious ass of some minor
characters.
Oh, you
think so? I would love to see that.
But instead, I think we're going to, you know, while he's kicking tail, there's also going to be a lot of pointless scenes. Like, I bet we'll have a scene with Nikki's mom again. Hey, Nikki's mom, she's alive. Oh, you're not so bad, Dutch. Oh, now Nikki's dead. Oh, you killed my daughter. Oh, yeah.
So maybe Fett and Nikki's mom end up together. Is that what you're saying?
On this show,
Bubba,
I think everything's possible on this crazy show. All right, so, guys, if people want to reach us and tell us how they feel about this second season, how can they reach us on Twitter? Let's start with you, Mork.
You can reach me at the Twitter at Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with a W before the R.
Whoa.
And that would be the second R, not the first.
Okay.
Because I couldn't pronounce it if you spelled it that way.
Extraordinary.
Okay, sure. And so, you know what? Okay, ignore. Catfish. Catfish, how can people reach you on Twitter?
And they can hit me up at CJGman67.
Oh, yeah, you can reach me, Bubba. I'm on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Guys, where do you guys stand? I know there was a big thing about Catfish, you going over 300 followers on Twitter. Congratulations.
I did.
Right?
I broke. I got helped out by our friends at Podcast Winterfell.
Yeah, double M. Thank you so much.
Begged for some listeners for me. I didn't even know how close I was, and they helped me break through the glass ceiling.
Very nice.
I am currently stuck right around 449, 450. So, listeners, please follow me so you can see lots of boring tweets about telling you when this podcast will be out.
I'm holding steady at about a baker's dozen. So that's
13?
Yep.
Way to go, Mork. Well, you joined Twitter late, so please follow us. Tell us what you think. We want this to be an interactive show. We love the thing that makes us do this, and we spend money and we spend our time doing it. We do it because we love the interaction with you fans. And
that's
so,
right,
please,
the people.
Yeah, please keep tweeting out Got Your Milk or hashtag Got Your Milk Podcast. We love it. And next time, you can count on us. When you are thirsty, you can count on us because we've
got your milk.
Or cocoa.